The Trump administration has been in office about 6 months now, and joining us to talk about that is Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Ron, you wrote an opinion piece marking the six-month anniversary of Donald Trump's second term in office, his second presidency. What are the polls saying about the job that he's doing?
Well, the polls are saying he's, you know, his average approval rating at this point, pardon me, I'm fighting off a cold here, to be about 46%. And that's an important number for Donald Trump because that's the popular vote he received in 2016. And just about the popular vote he received in 2017, or rather in 2020. So his popularity has been remarkably stable over the last 10 years. And even though since he's been president, he started off this time in the 50s, he went down into the mid-40s again, which is where he is now.
And when you make that correlation to the popular vote, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience,
sure.
That's important because of the electoral college in an election process, right?
Right, because, you know, the of course, the electoral vote is what matters in terms of who gets elected president. But the popular vote gives you a sense of what the political strength was of the candidate who won, the total number of votes they received, and it definitely relates somewhat to the electoral vote. But you know, when Trump won this past time and he won the popular vote, I think he felt sort of vindicated with it.
It's interesting. So let's talk on a little bit more granular level. Obviously, they come off the heels now of just passing the big, beautiful bill. From my perspective, that has really become almost a marketing nightmare for them in many respects. I would have thought they would have had a messaging campaign a lot stronger around the accomplishments of the bill. As opposed to what I've seen thus far, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the big beautiful bill basically makes the Republicans in the Trump administration responsible for just about everything, and of course they should be responsible for just about everything. Just like when the Democrats were in power, they should be responsible. But politically, it makes it more difficult for them to blame anything now on the Biden administration, particularly as it relates to, number one, the economy, and number two, Medicaid. And look, and there's some popular things in that bill, as you pointed out. But usually when you're dealing with a package of issues like that, they have to rise and fall on the weakest link. And if the weakest link is not popular, the whole thing is. Remember, when President Biden had his Inflation Reduction Act, it had little to do with inflation, but that's what they called it. And it sort of made a mockery of his efforts to fight inflation. And it gave him full responsibility for everything he was doing with the economy. And, of course, the Democrats paid the price in the presidential election last year because of that.
There are a number of provisions in there, actually, that Democrats would have supported. You know, money for the air transportation system to bring up the technology to more contemporary standards, things of that nature. Obviously, they've had some horrible, tragic events that symbolizes the need to spend some money there and make improvements. But
sure.
It's kind of interesting the way that this is rolled out. Let's pivot to tariffs. You know, you and I have talked about this a lot with Donald Trump. He oversells a lot of times. You know, I'll get this, that, and this, and that accomplished in the first 30 days on day one. I'll resolve this on, you know, day 20, this. Always selling himself short on time. And he ultimately accomplishes some of what he actually promises. It may take a little longer. And it looks like that's what's going to happen here with tariffs.
Yeah, I think so. Although, even though he put tariffs way up and then he pulls them down, puts them way up, pulls them down, I think it's, you know, it's really part of his strategy. And the strategy is to tell other countries, hey, we've got the economic power and you have to negotiate with us whether you like to or not. And I think that can work. It is working here and there. They apparently made a lot of progress with Japan the other day. But the problem he has with tariffs is the American people see a direct link between high tariffs and high prices. And if there is another, coming down with more inflation and high domestic prices, the American people are going to blame the tariffs for them, and politically, that's going to be is disastrous for the Republicans as it was for the Democrats during Biden's administration.
Yeah, and only time will tell on that front as well. As you said, I think it's the strategy. He starts out high, ends up getting to a number that he probably always had within his mindset as to where he was going to settle out on these issues. Interesting, though, there were doomsday predictions about what was going to happen in the first 2 weeks as some of these tariffs were changed. We hadn't seen it.
No, and I think the market has basically adjusted to his way of doing things on the tariffs. They're not taking when I say the market, I mean the stock market, they're not taking every statement he makes, every move he makes seriously until it's really locked in. And fortunately for the market, that is the case. Because what he's doing now, oftentimes doesn't have a big effect. And when it looks like he's pulling back or slowing down, the market tends to go up because it may be better than what they've already baked in. So, essentially that's worked out, I think, favorably for the economy. But as he would say, we'll have to see where it goes and which countries are going to work with the U.S., negotiate deals and how those deals ultimately work.
Yeah. Immigration. He campaigned hard on that issue. He did so the first time around. He did it again the second time around. He moved very quickly in the issuance of executive orders. He moved very quickly in the cancellation of orders that were put in place by the previous administration under President Joe Biden. And this has become very controversial across this country. Where does it play out for him?
Well, at this stage of the game, it's his best issue in terms of public opinion. People believe that immigration and border security was one of the most important reasons to vote for Donald Trump in the elections last year. And they voted for him for that. And as you just laid out, he acted on it. He did it. And by all the data that's come out, it seems to be working in terms of the actual issue of border security. Now, a lot of people are complaining about the cruelty of some of the things that are involved and mistakes that are being made and how you treat families and that sort of thing. But he can make a case that they have either stopped or significantly lowered the illegal entries, and that the U.S. has effectively taken control of the problem, which is what many voters wanted to do. Now, how he does it and how he handles it from here on out is another issue. I know a lot of people are hoping that he uses his credibility on the issue. And by the way, the polls on it do show his approval on immigration has gone down some, although it still remains, his, generally speaking, when you look at all the polls, his best issue. But some people are hoping it leads to him coming up with a big immigration reform package that emphasizes both border security and sort of straightening out, you know, what happens to all of the other people who are not deported and who have jobs and businesses in the United States, and to see if there's some way that there could be a path to citizenship where you would essentially straighten out the issue and really take it off the boards as an important issue, because essentially it would be solved as a problem.
But that's kind of where the rub is, right? This path to citizenship. I mean, if the first step is an illegal step, Republicans don't want to reward individuals with a path, and Democrats, on the other hand, do. The other thing is that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, I mean, the way you deal with that is you put a penalty in that somebody who came here illegally has to pay some kind of penalty, whether it's in terms of a dollar amount or, you know, a weekly or monthly penalty or however it could work any possible way, so that people aren't being rewarded for doing it. They have to pay a price for having done it, and then they can decide whether they want to stay here or go. But anyway, I do think he has options now if he wants to. You know, I think a lot of liberals see it as an opportunity for him to be a sort of a Nixon goes to China, where, you know, you have the tough guy on immigration coming up with a immigration solution that goes beyond just being tough on the border, but does at the same time accomplish being tough on the border. You know, we'll see if that happens at some point. But as it stands now, immigration is his best issue. And I know a lot of Democrats have trouble believing that because they think a lot of what he's done has been wrong. But the American people wanted to close the border. They wanted to deal with it effectively, and many of them believe he's done it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let us pivot in the minutes that we have left. I know you've been watching what's going on relative to our illustrious mayor, LaToya Cantrell. This has been a very interesting 6 to 8 weeks here. I don't know how much worse it can get between now and January 11th, her last day in office, which happens to be my birthday, Ron. In case you're interested, what a great gift, right? The end of this term. Your thoughts about what's going on? I mean, this is crazy what's happening.
Well, I think a lot of people believe that she has essentially is essentially checked out as being mayor, in the sense that she's not getting involved in any new initiatives and is just kind of letting her term run out. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I know a lot of people in politics, many of whom are allies of her, believe that's what's going on. And so you know, I guess if you look at it in that light, it's understandable. But I can tell you that, you know, the mayor's popularity rating is lower than it's ever been. It's down to about 27% now. And it wasn't that long ago. It was well in the 60s. But it's cratered over the last few years, yeah, a couple of years. And that's where it is. And it's just I don't know if she cares where she is in the polls. I have no idea. She may not. And I've heard that from a lot of people that she feels like people give her the short end of the stick and that they don't, rewarding her for her accomplishments, and so she just kind of threw up her hands. Now, that may not be true, but that's what people around City Hall are saying, and so now everybody's waiting to elect a new mayor and new city council and look to the future and go forth.
What impact does her administration right now, its failures, her personal failures, where she stands in the polling, have on the mayor's race?
Well, it potentially has impact because it sort of looms over the whole thing. It would be very difficult for anybody running for mayor to cozy up and look too close to the incumbent administration, because that would not be a popular place to be, position to run for mayor. Usually after people are tired, fed up, and you know, don't like the political status quo, they reach out for change. And I think that's what we're having now, that people are looking for change, and they're looking for the best candidate who will offer change. And so, you know, usually the current mayor or our governor or president, for that matter, depending upon where they are in public esteem, they sort of lay out the have a big effect on the public mood. I think that's clearly the case here.
Yeah, I think at one point in time, maybe her closest ally on the council was Oliver Thomas. I mean, he made no bones about that. Obviously, it's hard running from the East. It's always been hard running from the East, right? It's a lot easier to develop a base in Mid-City and Broadmoor otherwise than it is from the East. And it seems as though he may have embraced her early onset. I'm not so sure that's the case now.
Well, you know, these council members have to deal with the mayor all the time on everything. And if it's not the mayor herself, it's, you know, the key members of the mayor's administration. So every time they're doing something, they have to make that calculation. And one of the things that I've learned studying city government and mayors and the politics of mayoral elections is that mayors and city council really have to work together to get things done. And it's in the mayor's interest to work with the city council, just like it's in the city council's interest to work with the mayor, as long as they have a common agenda that's aligned. And that's usually the best way it works. And of course, we've seen, you know, the current mayor and the current city council at odds on almost everything. And I think it makes it difficult to govern as mayor when you don't have the legislative body with you. And mayors should do everything they can to work with the council. Of course, Mayor Cantrell would say, well, she did, and the council was sniping at her, and they all wanted to run for other offices and what have you, so they'll blame one another. But when you see mayors and councils fighting, that's usually not good for the mayor.
Or the city. I always say the entity's interests always outweighs the individual's, and sometimes...
And that's always the most important thing.
Absolutely. No doubt. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're a little bit under the weather. We really appreciate it. I hope you get well soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We'll be right back, and when we do get back, we'll visit with Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, and we'll talk about some of the funding that he replaced for the city of Gretna that was taken away from the newly elected councilman in that district. We'll be right back. Stay with us.